Backchat Studios is a part of the Acast Creator Network. Head to backchatpodcast.com.au to sign up as a patron and access all of our merch.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Seven years ago to the day Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors, one of the biggest signings of all time, and it seems like 7 years ago that I've seen you in person. Ben Mallis is in Perth. Welcome back.
I like this introduction. I need to go away more often. I come back to town yeah. and I mention the same breath as Kevin Durant. And
yes.
I'm sitting here drinking a wonderful Backchat beverage, which
That's
is
right.
appropriate because I think we need to pour one out for Mr. Kevin Durant, and his career has not been the same over the past 7 years, but
no,
we're back.
That's right. He's still doing things. This is the Shelter beer. Just a little plug. So Shelter is one of our partners over at the Backchat, you know, Backchat Studios. They're involved with us. One of our good mates over at Shelter. We've released our own beer. It's the Backchat Ale. It's bloody good.
It goes good. I might be smuggling some of these onto the Qantas flight home.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think they'd mind if I'm sitting in the Qantas lounge pulling out my own six pack?
No, just drop them around the place so that people can start to
enjoy
them.
Like, they need all the help they can get, so they might steal some of the beers for their planes.
No slandering Qantas. We don't have an airline sponsor at the moment. So just in case, there is a possibility. Qantas, I'm a fan. I'm a frequent flyer.
So am I. I've been flying too much.
I'm a bronze frequent flyer.
I upgraded to silver this week on the flight home.
You don't get much though.
Qantas is a bit stingy.
Well, do you get the lounge access?
You get one lounge access pass.
Yeah, okay. That's good though. Like good is I've recently travelled a few times with lounge access thanks to Will Schofield and his playing career travelling on Virgin so much.
I was asking these questions to myself when I'd see all these grabs on Instagram and you just storming into the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's thanks to our friend Mr. Schofield.
It's just a staple now of my travelling experience that I sit in lounges.
So you leave the wife and kids at home, it's all about travelling with Will. Yeah.
But to be perfectly honest, like the lounge is just, it's so convenient and good. Like you can rock up like an hour before your flight and you can just know that you can sit somewhere comfortable. You can have a bit of meal, drink, wine, whatever. It's so good. It's, I don't know how much it costs to just use the lounge all the time, but you know, if this whole podcast thing just doesn't really work out, I'm probably going to have to go and purchase some sort of access to a lounge if I ever travel. Because
you'll just be like one of those old people that wants to see every lounge in Australia.
Yeah.
I think my dad might be like this, wants really? To go to every airport. Well, I was down in Hobart a few weeks ago in their lounge. This is about the big as this studio we're recording in. So
really?
There you go. You don't have to go to Hobart, but you can check out the other location.
Was that a Virgin or a Qantas one?
It was a Qantas lounge.
Because I've been to Qantas lounge and Virgin, and Qantas lounge is so much better than the Virgin lounge. But not unfortunately, but because of when we travel for Backchat, we usually go Virgin. And I'm not gonna complain because I know what will happen. Next time we travel, Scully will be like, "Well, no, you're not allowed to come in. You prefer the Qantas one."
What happens if one of the producers comes along and you just get booted to the side?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, you've done your dash.
Last time we travelled, so we went to Sydney, did some interviews and stuff like this. Is a basketball show, by the way, but we're just having
we're
a
just
chat.
Talking about travel podcast.
Couple of old friends catching up. I walked through the plane, like we sort of split up and we lined up at separate times. So I'm getting on the plane with one of the other guys that works with us. And I look to my left at around row 3 and Scully's just sitting in business. I'm like, what the, where did this come from? And we sat in exit row, so it wasn't too bad.
You weren't roughing it. Did I see that you lost your AirPods on the plane?
I lost my AirPods.
Did you get them back or are they gone forever?
No, so I did this. I've seen this thing how you can put your AirPods on your Mac and it magnetizes to the top of your screen.
Really?
And so I sit on the plane and I put my AirPods up and one drops down, like doesn't magnetize properly. It bounces into the abyss, like could not find it for so long. And it was so awkward. I'm like turning back, I'm so sorry, could you just look under your seat? Is there an AirPod there? And this guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And anyways, after about 15 minutes of harassing these poor people behind me, I eventually spot this tiny bit of white and I go, it's just under your foot. And he passed me my AirPod. It was very embarrassing. But anyways, the Backchat Basketball Show, here we are. Every Wednesday, we're putting out episodes. But last week, I said it's the second last episode ever.
I did.
And this was going to be the last. I lied. What happened was I looked back and I realized today is episode 39. And I wouldn't be able to sleep properly if I knew that we finished on 39. It just feels weird. So next week is the last episode.
Until next week, and then we'll assess them.
Yeah, no, I think 40. We should go 41 for Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk's
numbers, right?
No, I don't. No, next week is the last episode of the season. We'll have a break, probably like 2-3 months, because we're in like summer league territory, so there is some basketball to talk about, but like, and free agency, and we'll get into a little bit of that soon, but like, let's just have a little break, and when we come back, there'll be more to talk about, because we're going to be grasping at straws. I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about airport lounges if we're not careful.
Exactly. We can swap Summer League Vegas stories, but I don't think people want to hear about how hot it is in the desert.
No, that's right. But let's get into some Summer League stuff straight away. So Keanu Pinder was announced last week sometime, who is the Perth Wildcats' big signing of this offseason, is going to be playing for the Phoenix Suns Summer League team, which is big. Really good for him. That's a really good opportunity. Gets his face and name on the radar of execs that go to these Summer League things, because he's going to play for the Suns, but basically every front office has a representative at these games, and they look at players, and he might not make it with the Summer League team at the Suns, but maybe the Charlotte Hornets see him and go, actually, we really like him. So interesting for Keanu, because I know the Wildcats will be stoked that he is getting an opportunity like that. But part of them probably thinks that, like, well, we hope that he doesn't end up getting signed somewhere, right?
You only want to see so much good stuff. And I'll actually plug a story I've got coming on the Pick and Roll tomorrow.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
go
let's
read
go.
That.
Pickandroll.com.au. Yep.
All about the madness of Summer League. Mm-hmm. And I was delving into this article, exactly what you said. Every club around the world, the NBA, Europe, the NBL, they all flock on Vegas now. It becomes a bit of a party for them in the desert.
Yep.
And it's jealous. Kind of like Tinder for basketball, right? Mm. Everyone that can upgrade is looking to upgrade. And again, the Wildcats, obviously it's a great experience for Pinder, going to Summer League, showing out, getting a great experience. But there must be a part of Wildcats fans out there that are hoping that he does all right.
Yeah.
But not too well.
Yep.
Because again, this is a time to shine. Mm. And Summer League is made for people like him. It's not made for the draft picks. It's not made for our friend Victor Wembanyama. Because we know where
Victor
he's going.
Yeah, he'll play get his minutes like two year. Games. They'll restrict his minutes. They'll make sure he doesn't get injured. And that's about it.
Yeah, and it'll be a massive jerk circle for the Spurs over the next week about them celebrating Victor. Mm-hmm. But Summer League is all about the fringe NBA players, which is what Pinder is. Because there was talk of him potentially playing in the G League next year before he signed with the Wildcats.
Yeah.
And if he comes out and dominates and shows out, then there is every chance the NBA teams might be willing to invite him over for a training camp invite.
Yeah.
Again, whether he'd actually follow through on that and whether he wants to stay in Perth or take a chance on getting to the NBA, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, isn't it? And there's all these players around the NBL, I didn't say that right, NBL that are doing the same, right? DJ Vasiljevic is one with the Kings who's trying to essentially audition for his next contract because he doesn't want to be back in the NBL. So it's a quite a mixed match of an environment, Summer League, but everyone's playing for jobs and Pinder has every chance to play. Even Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Their bench, me and you could be their 15th man. They've got the money left over.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're desperate for any talent they can find and Pinder's got a good chance to show out and impress.
He's got a pretty like modern NBA body, right? He's big, he's long.
Tall, he's lanky.
Yeah, and he can do things because he's got that athleticism. He's not just going to be a guy that's parks in the paint and you can't really do much with him. There'll be a team that has a need that Keanu Pinder can actually fill. So, look, I'd be, you just want these Australian guys to be in the league. So if he gets a shot, I hope he gets it. That'd be great. But for the Wildcats who sort of centered around, obviously their team is centered around Bryce Cotton, but you know, part of their development moving forward was pairing Keanu Pinder with Bryce.
Yeah.
So if that sort of falls through, then they're not going to be scrambling because they'll go get another import. And I'm sure the Wildcats have a representative. Well, they do. John Riley's
Riley's there. Mills is there.
Yeah.
Hutchie was there last year. I'm sure he might be going.
That's
there.
Right. They so Riley is the coach, or one of the coaches of the New York Knicks Summer League team. So he'll be there seeing guys. And if there's a guy on that team specifically that they like the look of, have they got all their imports, the Wildcats?
They've got two, don't they? I think they've got
Bryce
one
and Pinder. Yeah, one open spot, right?
Pinder's Australian.
Oh, Pinder's Australian, sorry. Yeah,
he's a West Australian boy. They've got an open roster spot.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of the league has open roster spots.
Yeah.
Because they're waiting for this weekend.
Of course, yeah.
And it's like a convention, as I said before. Everyone's got their wad of cash. And something that the NBL is learning over the past 6 months especially is some of the NBL teams I speak to, they're a bit shocked at the prices these players are asking for now.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing around the world there's so much more money in basketball.
Oh, man.
Went for NBL salaries 10 years ago. It's been absolutely mushroomed higher than that.
Mm.
So NBL clubs, and the Wildcats are one of the richest NBL clubs, are coming to the table with big-time offers now.
Yeah.
And we're talking offers that push $1 million in some instances to get these imports in. And it might just be the Wildcats. It'll be the 36ers, the Melbourne Uniteds of the world, the Sydney Kings of the world that are all strutting around Las Vegas trying to get their imports. And
yeah,
for John Rulli especially, he gets to link up, be an assistant on the Summer League, coach with the Knicks, and even again on the coaching side, right? There are so many Aussies coaching at Summer League now.
Oh, yeah.
They're invading with us.
Yeah, that's great. There will be NBL clubs as well just willing to splash money. Like if you look at Bryce, right? So every NBL club is thinking, where's the next Bryce coming, right? So the Wildcats take a bit of a gamble on Bryce Cotton bringing him in. Now he's the staple. He's the he's the best player in the league. So you'd be thinking, well, we're willing to splash that cash if we get a guy who can change our franchise. Because if Bryce Cotton goes on any other NBL team, like they become finals potentials, and so definitely there'll be NBL teams there looking at that. So I think that's Summer League. Like, games have sort of started. I have not watched a single second. Actually, I saw one good dunk from someone.
That was the OKC Thunder game. Yeah. I don't know which team it was, but that was a tasty dunk.
That was
huge. And is Summer League in a nutshell. I know. Right? Do not watch the games. Watch the highlights.
Watch the highlights, because you're going to watch some bad basketball. I remember when the Dallas Mavericks, they drafted Satnam Singh.
It's a very deep cut.
I think he was 7 foot. He's an Indian guy, the first Indian guy ever to be drafted into the NBA. And I watched Summer League games purely to see him, and he played hardly anything. His body was like, he's a bit of a freak of nature because he's such a giant person, but he wasn't built for playing sports full time. But just seeing him run up and down the court doing things was interesting. But I remember just watching so much bad basketball to watch Satnam Singh play for like 7 minutes a game.
Why do you do it to yourself? The first time I ever went to Summer League was in 2017. And that was the year Lonzo Ball came out of college. Jason Tatum was a rookie. And so there was all this hype around Lonzo playing with the Lakers coming to Summer League. And so all these Lakers fans descended on the arena. And the arena where the big games are played at Summer League, it's a 15,000-seat arena. It's massive. Yep. But I just remember this place was packed out with Lakers fans. It smelt like a Bob Marley concert. There were Lakers fans just lighting up in the alleyways, having the time of their life watching Lonzo run around and play what must be said was putrid basketball.
Yeah.
There was no redeeming feature to it, but it was all about hope, and the NBL was selling the future and everyone was excited.
Yep.
But it had nothing to do with the actual gameplay. It was everything around the NBA. So yeah, that's our PSA for the fans out there. Enjoy the highlights, watch the KO minis.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do not grab yourself a shelter and sit down and watch a full game. You're not going to enjoy yourself.
Unless you just I don't know, have nothing else to do.
Dedicated. And, maybe we should be selling this more. Go watch Summer League. Go do the scouting for us.
give us a 2-hour rundown of every Summer League game. Speaking of Lonzo, there's a potential that he'll never play basketball
again. They said he's out for at least 12 more months.
That's crazy. And this the injury that there's, like, the reports I've seen is that, like, yeah, they're going to keep trying to bring him back, but there is a good chance that, because it's just such a really obscure injury, right?
He's got a chronic knee injury, and he's still got a couple of years left in his contract.
Yeah.
And it's just typical for the Bulls, right? Because they had him in for that 3-month period with our winning game.
He was so good.
And looking really good.
Yeah.
And then the injury's caught up, and he hasn't been seen since, and it's going to be 2 years out of the league. And odds say he's probably not going to come back and amount to much in the NBA, which.
Yeah.
It's sad because I joke about that Summer League experience, but this guy had so much hype. He had his dad talking all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But he was actually a good NBA player. He found his feet in New Orleans, found his feet again in Chicago, and was that wonderful combo guard that you could see playing 20 minutes a game
for sure.
In an NBA Finals game on the right team. But the injuries have hit, and unfortunately he's been ruled out for the season, and, well, the Bulls are in no man's land, and poor Lonzo might not be seen again.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I was starting to really, like, come around to him because I think his dad really soured my sort of liking for the Bulls. that's funny. But both Ball brothers who are playing in the NBA are excellent. Like, they're really good basketball players.
Well, did you see the Charlotte contract they gave out during the week?
For
Lonzo's brother. They offered him, given him
LaMelo.
LaMelo.
I kept thinking of LiAngelo, but I knew it wasn't LiAngelo.
Well. I was going to say LaVar, but $210 million guaranteed.
Yeah. I think he's pretty box office. Like, they'll get players.
No one's going to go to Charlotte. They've got nowhere else to spend their money. Yeah. But that's an obscene amount of money.
It is. There is a lot of obscene money going around. So I want to tell you about this Dropping Dimes Twitter account.
Yes, you promised me an update on this.
So Dropping Dimes is this random Twitter account that's just sort of come out of obscurity. There is no... It's one of those accounts that doesn't have an avatar, so it's just the egg, like the Twitter egg.
Just the bot accounts.
Exactly. And so it seems like a bot account, like if you were just to look at it. Currently on the Dropping Dimes Twitter account, let's just have a look. It's got 38,500 followers. Just a egg emoji. It's been leaking NBA news before anyone else. So it got the five... I'm saying it because I don't know who or what it is. It got the first five picks of the draft, right? Which weren't... It's not like the craziest thing ever because it was pretty... But it was the right order. And a lot of people thought that Scoot Henderson was going to go second. But he didn't. And he sort of had picked the first five. So not that crazy. But then now that free agency has started, that's where... like Dropping Dimes 50, I think it is, and it's had to change because it keeps getting suspended for some reason, is just leaking this free agency signing stuff. So he was the first person to just say out of nowhere, James Harden has just signed an extension, but he wants out. And which was weird because like that was never really in the news. That was never really something, you know, there was a bit of talk around, you know, Embiid and Harden, are they working together? Does he want to be there? But this was the first time that someone was actually like, he wants out and he's requesting a trade, doesn't know where yet. So that was something. He leaked the mentioned Kyrie re-signing with Alice, which was something that people thought would happen. But there's time and time again, he's beating Shams and Woj by like 15 minutes at a time. So I don't know who this Dropping Dimes person is, but they're definitely an insider. And someone asked, like, how do you know this stuff? And I can't remember what the tweet was, but it was basically something like, I've been around the league a long time and I just know things. But I don't know. It seems someone has to be like linked to this account at some point, right? I don't know.
I'm just looking through this now. I'm in two minds. What do you think it is? Do you think it's some blog boy that's 15 years old in his mum's basement? Or do you think this is some disgruntled NBA employee that's leaking the stuff out?
I think it's maybe someone that works at one of the agencies or something that is, because I remember, so like when I was at the Wildcats, right, I would hear about news that's come out, you know, or things that we were thinking of doing, right, but we weren't allowed to say anything because nothing is 100% confirmed, right? So maybe this person is at an agency and he's working at Clutch, or he's working at, I don't know, one of these... or he's working ESPN, and he's a trusted employee that is finding out information, and they're just going with it when they shouldn't. So, I don't know. Just a very interesting sort of ripple or sort of thing that's happening in this NBA offseason. Like, there's always good stuff that happens, but this is sort of the big one that's happening in terms of news. So, he said Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks will both sign with the Houston Rockets tomorrow. Van Vliet's deal will likely be 2 years of $80 million. So he's just writing out a lot of stuff.
He is. He is writing out a lot of rumors, though.
Yeah, a lot of rumors. But
I wonder if this guy goes and puts all these tweets out there and deletes them after things don't happen.
Nah, because he's not getting screenshotted like that. So he's not doing like the whole like private Twitter account tweeting out a bunch of stuff and then deleting the wrong things. Go have a look at it if you're bored on Twitter and you've got less than 600
tweets left.
Just
to show why the NBA is the craziest league in the world, that we're worrying about like burner Twitter accounts that I still think is some blog boy that's sitting in his mum's basement just making stuff up. Maybe this is Elon's burner account. Maybe Elon just loves the NBA.
maybe like what's happening is like when Shams puts a tweet out, there's some Twitter employee that gets it and like stops it, and then he writes out the tweet, and then he lets the Shams tweet go out like a minute later.
Did you see Shams put his screen time on social media during free agency?
Yes. What was it again? How many
19
hours?
19 hours a day.
That's insane. What's your screen time?
I don't know.
I get the update every Monday because at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and I'm around 5 to 6 hours screen time a day, which is, I feel like it's a lot, but it's definitely not as much as some people. But Shams is literally 19 hours. Ronan's behind the cameras here producing. Do you know your screen time?
Can sometimes get to maybe 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Yeah. Yours would... I don't know. I think you're more of a computer guy.
I'm more of a computer guy. Yeah. I reckon probably 2 or 3 hours on the phone.
Yeah, but two or three, that's not much.
Speaking of shams, I remember the time we did go to Summer League and this guy was just always lurking in the background just on his phone. And 19 hours a day, that's 5 hours a day where you're not on your phone.
That feels like the time he sleeps. Otherwise, he's just always got his phone unlocked and on, like, doing something.
These guys are just addicted to the grind. I don't think I love anything enough to be on my phone 19 hours a day for. Can you think of anything you appreciate that much?
I reckon, like, Flappy Bird for, like, a week. Apart from that, I can't think of anything I want to do on my phone.
Well, you say this next time the Eagles win a game, we might be on our phones 24-7.
That's true.
Might not be until 2024, but we'll be up in arms.
Blimey. I don't even want to get into the West Coast Eagles at the moment. It's just a hard time to be a West Coast Eagles fan. If you just follow basketball for some reason, if you listen to this podcast and you have no idea who the West Coast Eagles are or AFL, the West Coast Eagles are basically, in the last 3 years, they've won like 6 games or something in 3 years. There's 22 games or 23 games a season. We're in territory of like a 6% win rate in the last...
Let's put it into NBA terms. We used to be the Miami Heat or the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
And now we're the New York Knicks.
No, we're the Charlotte Bobcats. We're like the Charlotte Bobcats when they won... or the New Jersey...
But no one cares about Charlotte. People look at New York and they care about them. And they look at that team and go, oh, your ownership in front office is bad. We want to laugh at you.
Yep.
Your fans are delusional. That's what we've become. So
that's what we've become.
Anyways, not turning the listeners off. Let's get back to.
I don't talk about them. Kyrie Irving. I talked about this last week with Jared, who jumped on the pod. If you haven't heard this podcast, the Jared Madger podcast that I did last week, he's a guy who's trained a lot of NBL athletes. It's really interesting, just like hearing about that side of things. Go back and have a listen. We did briefly. He loves basketball. He's a big basketball guy, but doesn't dive into the deep crevices of Kyrie Irving news. So I sort of told him a little bit about it and then we moved on pretty quickly. But you said that Kyrie, I think you were 50-50, right? You thought if Kyrie signs, then Luka leaves in a year or something.
He's gone.
No.
He's gone. I've seen the photos of Luka though. He's on the Ben Simmons off-season workout routine, the videos that have been flooding into social media. So maybe we're about to see Luka take over the league. But yes, I think the Kyrie Irving signature, who I'll let you vent on in a second, is the start of the decline, and the Luka Doncic trade request will be incoming within 18 months.
Don't you think, though, that, like, the Mavs have made some really dumb decisions in the past, and I think...
Just a couple.
And I think in recent... Like, this draft was really good. They did really good at the draft. And so things are changing. But don't you think, like, Nico Harrison and Mark Cuban would be like, Luka, we want to sign Kyrie, but if you have any doubt whatsoever, we're not going to do it. Like, we're not going to sign Kyrie to this big deal. There's no way he would have said, like, no, I'm not sure. And then they said, well, we're going to do it anyway. They're not going to piss off Luka.
I'm sure he wants that now, but we've seen this time and time again, that players aren't the ones that should be making decisions. There was a time where LeBron wanted the 38-year-old Shaquille O'Neal in Cleveland, and then he bounced 12 months later. So I'm sure right now Luka wants Kyrie to stick around because he's not dumb. He knows he needs someone. Yeah. But when Kyrie is lighting sage courtside in January or requesting a trade to the Lakers next season or taking the second half of the season out because he watched something on Amazon that he shouldn't and Luka is left fighting solo in the playoffs, I think that's when we're going to see him get jacked with it. So
I think Kyrie's turned a corner. I think he's good.
Where's that beer? We need to cut him off.
I think, look, this is Kyrie's last big contract. So he signed
the money now.
He signed 4 years, 132, which is a discount. People are saying it's overs, but it is less than he could have signed elsewhere. A lot of people saying the Mavs are bidding against themselves, but someone probably would have given Kyrie more if he really wanted it.
So what do you think is a realistic best case for the Mavericks this season?
I would love to be within the sixth seed, you know, 1-6 seed and like win a playoff series.
And do you think that keeps Luka happy?
Depends on the rest of the team. Like there's still a lot to happen and there's still like, I think if you have to be in the, Luka has to be in the playoffs. Like Luka can't not be in the playoffs. Now, if they miss the playoffs again, I agree. He wants out, but if they make the playoffs and they have a decent run, I think he goes, okay, like, all right, we're ready to make a run. Like, if he doesn't win a championship this year, he's not going to be like, well, this is stupid. Like he's in year five or something. Like,
no, but he's got 3 years left in his contract before he can opt out. And we know what happens in the NBA with 2 years left. Want out, you can start making
noises. Teams will trade 5 first-round picks for Luka. Because even if he has the worst contract, like, there's no way he has a bad contract. So when he has the max contract of $300 million of 5 years, a team will trade for him.
And do you know what I saw? I was listening to a podcast. I can't remember who, but they were looking at the Lakers contracts they've signed during the offseason. And conveniently enough, the salary of D'Angelo Russell plus Rui Hachimura is exactly what Kyrie Irving makes. And so this podcast was theorising that what if Kyrie still wants to get the Lakers, but these contracts are lined up, and then when it gets to December, guess who might be issuing a trade request asking to go back to LA?
Well, I'll take those two guys in return for Kyrie.
We've got on a run sheet here. Dante Exum is back.
That's right. Let's talk, like, so whatever. Kyrie, we've talked about Kyrie, like, I don't know, that's probably been our major talking point this entire season of the Backchat Basketball Show. Let's talk about Dante Exum, because he spent 2 years out of the league. He's been playing in Spain, and he's had two really good, consistent years of basketball. His shooting numbers are up. He's been healthy. He had a broken toe at some point because someone did a wrestling move on him during a fight in a game. Apart from that, he's been really consistent. So there's been a bit of hate about the Exum signing because of the NBA, in the NBA. But I think from fans, because they're just like, well, Dante Exum, like, did nothing he didn't do nothing, but he was inconsistent in the NBA, couldn't shoot, was injured all the time. I think he's done enough now to show that, like, he's maybe figured some stuff out, right?
I think so. And I think we're talking about it now. Dante's father unfortunately passed away.
Yes,
on Monday.
That's right.
I saw that. So obviously thoughts with Dante, because this should be a great week for him, because he's getting himself back into the NBA. And on a Dallas side, as much as I'm joking about Luka asking out, this is where you want to be for a French NBA player. You want to be playing with an MVP caliber player on a team that rightly or wrongly thinks it can actually make a deep playoff run. And Dante's gone away from the NBA and had a very good run in Europe. And importantly, this last season, he was shooting 40% from three.
Yeah.
And that was always the thing with his game, that he had the athleticism. He was playing great defense still last time in the NBA, but he just couldn't stay on the court with his offense.
So teams are just going to, like, slag off him. And he just, he becomes not very useful on the offensive end, and teams can't play that. Like, you have to be able to spread the floor.
You can't. And so Dallas, we said this all year long, Dallas needs that defense. And quite funnily now, their two best defenders are both Australians.
Yeah.
With Josh Green and Dante Exum. And taking the Australian side out of that, that's a lot of length, a lot of defensive talent. And if those two guys can get that three-point ball up to about 35%, then that is going to allow Dallas to play some interesting lineups around Luka. So
yeah.
For Dante, it's a great landing spot. It's a minimum NBA contract, right? So it's not like the Mavs are shelling out massive money for him. And this is where he wants to be. It's his opportunity to get back in the league.
And he will fight like tooth and nail for it.
Correct. And you look at someone like Bruce Brown that just signed for $23 million.
Yeah.
Like, Dante has the pedigree to be doing what Bruce Brown did in the postseason on the right team. And we see how quickly it can turn. So he's got his opportunity now. And you, as a Mavs fan, taking the Australian stuff out of it, how do you feel about having Dante and his skill set on the Mavs?
I like what he can do. Like, he can defend, and he's, like, long, and I think if he can hit shots, that's where, like, that's, like you said, that's going to be the main thing. If he can be an option on the wing, and because Luka finds guys constantly who are open, if he can hit the shots, he'll stay on the floor and he'll become very valuable, like Josh Green did. Josh Green wasn't valuable at all when all he could do was defend and be athletic and, like, do wild layups, right? But the moment he started hitting shots, everyone was like, oh shit, like, we've got a very good player now. And that could be Dante Exum. So the Mavs have struggled with their defense. They're one of the worst defensive teams of all time last season. That's probably not true, but they're really awful. They could not defend anything. So he brings that, and if he can bring shooting, and he can actually, like, he can handle the ball a little bit. Like, he can allow Luka to play off him a little bit. And Kyrie, like, there's definitely options now. So I think I'm biased about it because he's Australian. But trying to put that aside, I think he has a skill set that the Mavs need. Another Australian that apparently was linked to the Mavs was Matisse Thybulle. Apparently there was some talks of him. Do you know if he's unrestricted?
He's restricted in Portland.
He's restricted.
But he's just hanging out in the wind until we talk about our next topic.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah,
on, he's just gonna have to sit there.
Let's go to that. So there's a lot of dominoes that I think will fall in free agency. So what happens usually is there'll be a few big marquee signings that everyone's sort of waiting to happen, and then I'm telling you, I'm not telling you this because you already know this, but a few marquee signings that will happen, and then dominoes start to fall. All these sort of mid-level players and veteran signings start to happen once teams know how much money they can play with. That's sort of currently happening in Portland at the moment. So he's going to earn a lot of money in the next few years. Damian Lillard, sorry. But he wants out.
Yeah.
So the thing is, for the last year, right, Lillard has been like, Portland's at home. I want to win here. I want to be loyal, blah, 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 saying all the right things. But everyone, I think, sort of was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you want to get a trade, like, unless Portland did something crazy last season. Or they could bring in some really, like, if they brought in Kevin Durant or something, like, then he would probably stay around. So now the news is that Dame wants out and particularly wants to play for Miami, right? So until that happens, until that trade happens to whatever team that ends up as, there'll be a lot of moving parts that happen after that. So that could be Matisse Thybulle coming over the Mavs or playing elsewhere. What do you think about what do you think about Portland working with Dame to get his trade request filled?
They remind me of that couple that we all know that's been together a year too long.
Because yeah.
The writing has been on the wall for so long that the NBA is quite routine driven. When we have superstar players like Dame,
mm-hmm.
that get to a certain point in their career but haven't won yet, they get all the money. And we've known it's been leading to this point for the past 2 years that the
yeah.
trade demand was going to come. And just the timing of it just rubbed me the wrong way. Why didn't this happen before the draft? Why yeah. wait until the second day of free agency? Interestingly enough, it happened 12 hours after Jeremy Grant got all the money in the world from Portland. So I wonder if that's Dame saying, I'm just going to get one of my boys paid and then I'm going to get out and try to get what I want, because this really should have happened 2 weeks ago. And in terms of the Miami of it all, if Portland liked the trade offer coming from Miami, this trade would have been done already.
Oh, of course.
Because
yeah.
Miami can only they
wanna
do
make, they make
so
moves.
Much. Yeah. They want to make moves. Miami's got a decent collection of assets to pass back.
Yep.
Nothing too great. But the position that Portland find themselves in now, because they've waited too long, they've lost leverage. Yeah, they've got leverage now and they can drag out the trade. But they've lost leverage because they're not going to get a Rudy Gobert-type trade where they're going to get four first-round
yeah.
draft picks, some cap relief, a young player. Those deals just don't exist anymore. Whereas
yep.
12 months ago, if they decided to do the courageous thing and bring
Rudy
us
Gobert.
Forward... Yeah, correct. They could have owned the Minnesota Timberwolves for the next 5 years or
yep.
the Phoenix Suns. And they're in a position now where there's even talk that they might be trying to absorb Ben Simmons' contract
yeah,
to get
that.
Extra draft picks. And as much as Ben has had a good career at Spurs, he's a year away from being washed out of the NBA.
Yeah.
So that shows where Portland is at. So I get the idea that you want to do right by your players to a certain extent, someone that's been great for the community for selling in Portland, but it's that madman line, right, that's what the money's for.
Yeah.
You're getting paid $60 million a year.
Yeah.
That you're a bit of at the mercy of what the team wants to do, because you can't call your shots when you commit to get paid $250 million
yeah.
for the next 4 years. And then complain where you get sent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think, like, there's this like thing that Damien's been loyal for the longest time to Portland, and that's like, well, he's been loyal to you for so long, you should show some sort of
yeah,
grace in that.
Money,
but
for that.
You've just been you've been paying him a shitload that entire time as well. So I would absolutely be sending him to whoever gives me the best deal. I'm not going to be bending. I know that happens a lot though. Like.
But
teams.
This is the cycle of the NBA, right? Because if they had a trade to send him to Charlotte, we know how this works. His agents will be jumping up and down in the background saying that I'm going to pull the James Harden routine and go get the clubs and not
yep.
show up, and it scares teams off. So he's probably still going to end up in Miami.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
History says he's going to get what he wants.
Yeah.
But it's just we also have to circle through this cycle for the next 3 months where we've got our friend Shams and Woj leaking all this stuff
yep.
that come from the clubs about these trade demands, these packages, the drama, the clicks, the whole lot of it. Whereas we know where this is going. I would bet mostly everything I have, probably 90% chance that he ends up in Miami.
Yeah.
Yet we have to go through this 7 stages of grief to get him there, because at the end of the day, he's a superstar player with a ton of leverage over any team that picks him up because he can refuse to show up.
Yeah.
And that's why this falls on the trailblazers for me. They should have made this trade 12 months ago.
Absolutely.
Get out in front of this stuff and they would be so much better off.
Because you got that his agent as well, who's probably saying, you know, let's get Dame to Miami because I got a lot of guys that I look after and it'd be a shame if I you know, weren't including you in trade requests and things like that. Like, there's definitely a bit of leverage from an agent as well to say, if you're not willing to play ball with us, then I can make your life, like, quite difficult. So I'm not saying that's what his agent is doing, but
that's what they do.
They have to keep the agents happy.
Do this. That's what the good agents do, no matter any sport that you're in. They leverage teams. They represent half the league, and it's interesting, right? Because these agents will say that you do my player a solid, and I'll fix you up on the back end, or do right by you. And that's just a load of bullcrap. That never works. Players want more money and more opportunities. They're human beings. They're always going to take the most amount of money. But these agents have got very, very good at leaking things to the media, and it goes on Twitter, and then somehow the players have sympathy towards them when they're getting paid all this money. And
you
have to move across the country. But for $50 million, I think anyone in their reasonable mind would be willing to live anywhere in the US if you're getting that much money.
Absolutely. Another interesting thing with the agents is that I've seen on Twitter lately, and I feel like I've seen it more this offseason than most. And I asked a friend of mine, Tim Cater, who's a beat reporter for the Mavs for the Athletic. He's just a general basketball writer. But anyways, I was saying, why all of a sudden it feels like in the Woj and Shams tweets, the agents are being listed. It's like Rich Paul from Clutch Sports and Damian Lillard have agreed to a deal to blah, blah, blah. It's like...
It's even better. Have you seen they've started doing like Rich Paul, president of Clutch Sports,
has
agreed to a deal? Like...
So I asked you about this and I said, is that new? And he said, actually, it's like two or three seasons ago, Rich Paul started requesting it, like from Shams and Woj, that he said, I want. Well, and now it's like just almost become a staple that like every other agent's like, well, I want that too.
Correct. Well, guess who represents Shams?
Probably Rich Paul.
Clutch Sports. And
well,
our friend Wojnarowski is represented by CAA, who represents half the league. So yeah, I'm just looking through Shams's Twitter at the moment. And you're right. I did notice this during the week. Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul and agent Brandon, I'm not going to pronounce this guy's name, but that's 8 words about the Clutch connection.
Yeah, it's
a PR spin, right? Instead of going down to sheltering things and beers and publicising that way, these agents just use Shams and Woj and probably give them some nice kickbacks on the back end to get their names out there.
Absolutely. We've gone over a little bit of Damian Lillard, but James Harden's in a similar boat in that he apparently wants out of the 76ers. Where do you think he ends up? I don't even need to talk about it. James Harden's like, I saw a tweet like through the week that said something like, look, James Harden's single, he's got no kids. He'll just play wherever he wants to play now. Like, he's obviously not he's not a one club player and he just wants to win. Like, I think he just wants to go and have a good time and make lots of money.
Speaking of that, have you seen the videos this morning of him at the white party for the 4th of July?
Oh, yes. The one that was for the owner of...
Fanatics.
Fanatics.
Michael Rubin, who used to own the 76ers.
Right.
Throws this big white party in the
Hamptons. That was crazy.
And just looking through the video, Harden was there with Tyrese Maxey, that plays for the Sixers, and Tobias Harris and James Harden. Joel Embiid. And then you also had Tom Brady and Jay-Z and every other famous person you could poke a stick at.
I saw like James Corden was there.
Yeah.
Like it's just a random mix of people.
Yeah.
So I was
seeing that this morning and obviously thinking that James lives a good life. But for the first time this morning, I thought maybe he's going to go back in Philly because who's going to trade for James Harden? Yeah, I know the Clippers. There's talk about them trading for him. But what are they going to give Philadelphia? Some role players? And again, exactly what we said about Luka before will apply to Joel Embiid if the 76ers don't get into the second round and beyond next year. The trade demand is coming from that end as well. And I don't see the point of giving up James Harden for a couple of role players and Terrence Mann and a far-flung draft pick. If you can swing that and get Dame Lillard through the door, then sure. But yeah, James Harden lives a good life. There was talk of him going back to Houston. I think they wisely pivoted from that.
That's a rogue...
That's our friend Woj leaking it out to get more money.
Yeah.
Whether they should have thrown $45 million a year at Fred VanVleet, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But I saw Bill Simmons was like, because he hates Kyrie, and he was going at the Mavs pretty hard about the Kyrie Irving
signing. Did you see him calling him Billy Boy?
Yeah, and he replied back calling him Billy Boy, which was great. But then you compare, like, would you have VanVleet, like Fred? Would you have Fred or Kyrie on there?
VanVleet.
You reckon?
100%.
Nah, I want Kyrie.
One guy shows up for work, the other works part-time.
Nah, he was good at the Mavs. Like last season, he was good at the Mavs.
5-11, bro.
Yeah, but he showed up and he played. He played some very good games.
How many playoff games did they win this year?
Doesn't matter. How many playoff games did the Raptors win?
I don't know.
Joe Ingles has got another payday. Shout out for Joe Ingles getting paid still. I'm that stoked for Joe Ingles. Going out to Florida. He's gone retire in Florida, Disneyland, getting $11 million, right? Was it around 11?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But a little retirement payday is what you've written here on the run sheet. Stoked for Joe Ingles.
Respect. That's his seed capital money to come back and buy an NBL club one day.
Yep.
And like you say, he's got young kids.
Yep.
He's in his mid-30s. Not that I can talk him in my mid-30s, but go down to Disneyland, have a nice year in the NBA.
Yep.
But $11 million. Like, I love Joe, but he barely played last year. And to give him $11 million, God bless his agent because he's doing very impressive work.
Teams like Orlando, they just need to spend money because they're going to reach that floor, right? And they've just, they didn't max extend Bol Bol, who they've waived today, which is a shame. I don't know what Orlando is doing. If you're an Orlando fan, how do you...
They do have a couple of young, nice pieces. I can never get this guy's name right, but Banchero.
Yeah, yeah.
I butchered that.
But Pablo
Banchero?
Banchero, yeah. And he's put on weight.
He's jacked up. Wagner twins are down there. They've got a decent little squad. But again, they haven't been relevant since Dwight Howard left a decade ago.
Yeah.
And just getting into the postseason will be a win. So maybe he's definitely going to be some veteran presence in that locker room, and they need that. And I suppose if you flip it that way, right, it's an $11 million investment to mentor your young draft picks, then fair enough. And for a team that's looking to go from 12th up to 10th, then Ingles can probably help them do that. Whether they've got any chance of elevating into the top four of the conference anytime soon, I don't think so with the way it's up at the moment. But they need to position their young players. And again, throwing $11 million at Ingles is great, but they would be better off going after someone like Exum, who has a bit more upside, and there are that many players.
Could stay around a while.
Exactly, and that can build with this team, and he's not going to be a one and done.
Jock Landale's another Australian. The Australians are getting paid $8 million guaranteed. It was reported as a 4-year, $32 million deal. Props to him. If he plays out that contract, that's amazing. He's he's done huge things transferring from the NBL to the NBA. I liked he did a lot of good things for the Suns at the end there. I was surprised that they didn't just, it was probably a money thing.
Money thing, right? They could have only paid him $2 million. And I definitely lose sight of this because we talk about $50 and $60 million a year for Kyrie and Fred VanVleet. But $8 million for a guy that was playing in the NBL 2 years ago, that is life. Changing
oh, absolutely.
Money. That's your set for life. Yep. It's not the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yep.
That's your family taken care of. That's your kids having properties for the rest of their lives. And Jock's got that now. And again, he's got those unguaranteed years in his contract. It's almost like a promise ring, right? That the Rockets have given him, that if you show up and we're impressed with you, we'll keep giving you $8 million a year. And it's on him now because that team needs all the help they can get. Talk about young, unprofessional.
Yep.
Everything we just talked about with the Magic on steroids, that there is a pathway for Landale going in there and doing a lot of the dirty work and earning minutes, especially under Coach Udoka, who is all about defense, rebounding, and toughness.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity for him there. The challenge is, though, this isn't the Phoenix Suns. He doesn't have Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker feeding him good looks. He's not going to have the opportunities. Those Rockets guards do not like passing the ball. Jalen Green has never thrown a pass in his life. So the opportunities aren't going to be there to touch the ball. But if he can go in and do the one percenters, then he has a great opportunity to earn the second year of the contract and keep that thing moving forward.
Does the NBA have one percenters as a stat?
No, that's such an Australian thing. I remember when I was living in the US, I was talking about one percenters and white line fever to my friend in Philadelphia, Jason, who covers the NBA, and he was looking at me like I was from Mars.
Right. White line fever probably means something else.
No, they had no idea.
Right.
And then I remember Jason was like, I'll ask Ben Simmons what that means, thinking he's Australian and Ben would be engaged in it. And Ben was like, nah, bro, I'm not talking about that. A typical Ben Simmons response.
That's good. Ben, mate, I think we're done. Almost done for the entire season. Next week, I'm trying to get a guest. I got a fish like on the line.
You got a live one?
I've got a live one. He's flipping around. He's being strong and powerful. So I'm trying to get a big fish to finish off the season next week, episode 40. But I think that's, you're off the hook. You came to Perth just purely for this. So thank you.
I flew in just for this.
For coming in. I'll hook you up with some back chat ales. It's that good. It's 4.2%. It's crushable. You can have 10 of them and you feel great. And you can just search Shelter Brewing Co. and you can buy them online.
You can. As my great friend Daniel says, they're very sessionable. Mm. So you can sit here and have a session. I'd even listen to more fishing puns for the next half an hour. You're on a streak at the moment.
That's right. Backchat _basketball is where you find us on Instagram, and hello@backchatpodcast.com.au. Send us an email, any questions or any requests that you have for us in the off season. We've got some big things already happening for next season, some big plans, some big ideas. Well, we're not at the final episode yet. That will be next week. Once I've hooked this guy or girl, no spoilers. We'll put it up on Instagram, get some questions in, but see what we can do. Otherwise, Ben, see you next time.
See you next year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That episode from Backchat Studios lives on the Acast Creator Network. If you want to sign up as a patron or access all of our merch, head to backchatpodcast.com.au.